Now today, friends, we come to a new section of the book of Psalms. And when I say a new section, I do not mean one of the major divisions. We have seen that the book of Psalms, longest book in the Bible, 150 Psalms, it's divided like a Pentateuch. And we have a Genesis section, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and we are now in the Deuteronomy section. But all the way through, we've seen that the Psalms break down again into small packages, and there are series as we go through. Sometimes there'll only be two or three Psalms. Sometimes there'll be a half a dozen of them. Now we've come at Psalm 120, to one of these series. In fact of the matter is, why, we have come to a package that is 15 Psalms, beginning with Psalm 120 and going through Psalm 134. They're called the Song of Degrees. That's the way I'm sure it is in your Bible. Actually, what we have here is, as Martin Luther translated it, the gradual psalms are a song of the higher choir. And an outstanding Hebrew scholar has translated it, the songs of the pilgrim caravans are on the homeward marches. Now, these 15 psalms were traveling songs, and they were used, I think, in two different ways. When the captives returned from Babylon, they used these psalms. They sang them on the way. And this same word here of going up, you find it back in Ezra, the 7th chapter, verse 9. It says, "For upon the first day of the first month began he," that is Ezra, "to go up from Babylon." And that's the word, to go up. "And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him." Now, the most common use of these psalms was like this, that three times a year God required and commanded all the males to go up to Jerusalem to worship. And when they went up to Jerusalem, they took their families along. And as they ascended to Jerusalem from every direction, from Jerusalem, actually, out to all parts of the world of that day where they were scattered, why, they would sing these psalms on the way to Jerusalem. One day it would be one of the psalms. The next day they came closer and higher. And as they approached Jerusalem, why, they would continue to sing the psalms until they came to the last one, the 134th, and you find them standing in the sanctuary of the Lord, singing praises to God. Now, these are song of ascents. They'd sing them along the route. And the families, of course, would join the men, and they went up then by families. And they're called, therefore, the Song of the Pilgrim Caravans. Now, you'll recall that we have one incident in the life of the Lord Jesus from the time of his virgin birth to the time he began his ministry when he was 30 years of age. Dr. Luke gives us that when they went up to Jerusalem. You will recall, when he was 12 years of age, they were returning, and they'd gone up for one of the feasts. And these three feasts, probably I should label them, they would be Passover, and there would be Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Now, at one of those feasts, why, they went up. And on the way back, they were out a day's journey. And that place is pretty well known today. That's where all the caravans, when they went to Jerusalem, they'd meet there, go up together. It was a time of fellowship, renewing acquaintanceship, talking over old times, telling about how things were getting along. And then they'd all go up together, singing these psalms. You remember the Lord Jesus, they missed him one day out when he was 12, and they had to return back to Jerusalem. Now, these psalms have another very wonderful meaning. And by the way, someone may say, are you sure that this is the way it was done? We have a very interesting statement made in Psalm 122, and it says in verse 3, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Yes, they went up three times a year at these great feast days to return thanks to God, to worship Him, and to offer sacrifices there. Now, we find a very wonderful spiritual meaning. I didn't want to say that word, and yet there is a great spiritual meaning here. And the very interesting thing that many of the writers of the Talmud pointed it out. And the thing they pointed out was this, that their life is like this. We come to God as a sinner. We're away from Him, separated from Him, alienated from Him. And then we come to Him. And as we come to Him in salvation, we come to Him in our sanctification, that we might grow in grace and the knowledge of Him. And so it's a constant going up, and we're climbing a spiritual way. And friends, you and I ought to be farther along today than we were last year, and we ought to recognize that. Now we begin this journey with Psalm 120. Now, the pilgrim that we are looking at here and his family, we are going to find out where he lives. So let me read Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Now, this is one of the most marvelous psalms that we've seen, and it's relevant to the present hour, and especially for the nation Israel. Now, will you note this, because this is very important to see. Now, this pilgrim lived, he says, in Meshech, in Kedar. Now, who is Meshech? Meshech was one of the sons of Japheth. You find that back in Genesis 10, verse 2. And from Japheth came the Gentile nations. And friends, that's where Israel is today, scattered among the Gentiles throughout the world. They dwell in Meshech. And Kedar, he was a son of Ishmael. Does that tell you anything? He was living among the Arabs. That's rather up to date, is it not? That's where he lived. And it actually was not a very good neighborhood. He really lived in a ghetto because there were a bunch of gossips around there, had mean tongues. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Not a very good neighborhood. He'd been maligned, lied about. And I do believe that no people have been probably lied about and maligned and persecuted as the Jew has. Now, we are hearing a great deal today about minority groups. Now, the very interesting thing is the Jew's been able to make his way among all nations, among all people, but he's been criticized. Anti-Semitism is something that is quite real, but he's been able to survive all of it. And he's a minority group among the Gentiles and among the peoples of the world today. So he's lived in the place of gossip and of quarrels and of tensions and problems and burdens. And I'm not sure, but what that is a picture of you and me. And now the time has come to go to Jerusalem. And it's a time when you pack up your troubles and your old kit bag and you start toward Jerusalem. He left his burdens at home. And so he left his Meshech, and he left his Kedar, and he now goes to Jerusalem. And he lived in a world of war. He says, "My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they're for war." That's rather up to date, isn't it? It's a wonder the high critic today who likes to move everything in the Bible up to date, that is, give it a late dating, too bad that he didn't have someone over there today write this, because it's very much up to date, by the way. Now he's going up to Jerusalem to worship. And Jerusalem is a city of peace. Sure isn't today. It's a rather dangerous place to be, by the way. But it was different then, and it's going to be different in the future.